Thank you. wanted to remind you of. This coming Saturday, it's going to be the 31st, we're going to be helping out with the community trunk or treat that the Main Street businesses are going to be taking part of. We're doing a trunk or treat. I believe the businesses are doing something out of their storefronts. And so if you would like to be a part of that, some of us decorate our cars. We try to make it fun for the kids who come through. We're doing it from 4 to 6 this next Saturday afternoon / evening. So please be a part of that if you're able. If you're comfortable with that, we'd love to have you with us. Also, I know in your bulletin last week, we announced that today after the second service, we're going to try to have a luncheon with our guest missionary who's sharing with us today. Because of the weather and because of the uptick in COVID cases in the state, we have decided to postpone our luncheon at our home until there's better weather. We do want to do it outside where it's a little bit easier to do social distancing and all that. And so I apologize for that. I was praying hard that God would hold off the rain, but there's a reason for it. And so hopefully we'll be able to reschedule that. Anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come to him in worship this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your blessings on our life. We thank you for the rain that you send and for the other good things that you send our way. God, we pray that today as we come to you, that you would open our hearts to you, that you would minister to us, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, and that you would be pleased by our worship. We thank you so much for how you are good to us, the ways that you bless us. We ask that you would allow us to be a witness and a light in this community and to the ends of the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and how untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Romans 11:33-34.
Feet and a light on my path. I have have your decrees as a heritage forever. Indeed, they are the joy of my heart.
Church had a chance to hear about this and hear what God is doing. So I'd like to invite Sydney Dawson up, and she can share a little bit of what God's doing through the team that she's a part of in South Asia.
Is this working? Maybe. Can you hear me? I can talk loud. Okay, I think it's working. So my name is Sydney. Thank you guys so much for letting me come and share with you this morning. Definitely it was not my plan to be back in North Carolina. That was the Lord's plan, and you know, we know that he is sovereign and faithful in leading us where he wants us. I'm really thankful that he opened the door for me to get to share with you guys this morning. So I just want to share a little bit about how the Lord called me to South Asia, and then also about the work that he's been doing there, and how you guys can actually get involved from here in the work that's going on in South Asia through prayer. So I never ever saw myself going to South Asia. I was a teacher for several years after I graduated from college, and felt like I was going to be a career teacher. You know, I was going to make it all the way through to retirement, and that was my plan. It was not the Lord's. But while I was teaching, I did know that I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to be obedient to his call, his command to go and make disciples. I, you know, wanted to do that where I was, living in Chapel Hill, but also overseas. And so I wanted to use my summers that I had off as a teacher to go overseas. And so I went on a short-term trip with my church here in 2017 to Southeast Asia. Not too far from where I now live. And while I was there, the Lord just gave me a heart for the people and for the work that he was doing and laid a specific scripture on my heart, which is Isaiah 52:10. And it says, "The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." And I just loved his promise in that verse that he is bearing his holy arm in the nations. He is at work there, and all of the ends of the earth, not maybe we'll see, but shall see, will see the salvation of our God. And I knew that I wanted to be a part of that, and the Lord made it abundantly clear while I was there that he was calling me to pursue going overseas long term. So long story short, I ended up in South Asia again, a place that I never felt like I was going to go to, never wanted to go, and but the Lord has just faithfully given me a heart for the people there. So I want to share a story with you about one particular woman that that I met. I'm going to call her Sarah. That's not her real name, but just for security purposes, we'll call her Sarah. One day, myself and a few of my local friends were out for kind of a dedicated time of sharing. We would call our sharing times, we called it Never Miss a Monday. And up until COVID, we never missed a Monday. And then we missed many Mondays, but again, the Lord is faithful in that. And so we would go out and share in different parts of our city. And we one day went into a new area that we had never been. And we were kind of in like a little slum community, and we're just knocking on doors and sharing with people. And for several weeks, as we'd been going out each week, we had been finding a lot of people that were not really interested in what we had to say. They weren't interested in knowing more about Jesus. And, you know, over those weeks, we were not discouraged because we knew that the Lord was, this was his process of leading us to the people that he was preparing and had prepared. And we were praying for that, that Lord, the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, would just lead us to those people that he was already working in their hearts. And he did that when he led us to Sarah, because when we met her, we shared with her in her native language, in her heart language. And while we were sharing with her, we could just tell, like, her face was lighting up, and she was understanding what we were saying, and she was excited to know about it. And after we had shared with her, you know, she started telling us that 20 years before, some foreigners had come, and they had shared with her, and they were trying to share about Jesus, but they were speaking in English, and she didn't speak English, and so she knew that they were talking about Jesus, and she was interested to know more about this Jesus that they were talking about, but she had no way to understand them at that time. And so for 20 years, she was saying, you know, this little seed had been planted that, you know, she was interested and curious about who was this Jesus, and she felt like we were the answer, that we had come and finally shared with her after 20 years who Jesus was. She was interested and excited to know more about him. And so that's just a testament to the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us to that place, to that woman that he had prepared her heart. It's a testament to the importance of learning the local language and being able to share with people in their heart language. People who, unless someone comes and in their native language shares the gospel with them, they will have no opportunity to hear the truth of who Jesus is. And so yeah, that is just one story, just one story out of so many of the ways that we've seen God's faithfulness at work in South Asia and his power. And so if you guys can join in praying, some ways to get involved, a few prayer requests. One would be to pray for Sarah. After we were able to share with her, it was just right before COVID happened and we were on lockdown. And so, you know, we haven't been able to follow up with her and go back into that community and share more with her. And so you can pray for more opportunities to share more with Sarah and her community, and that the Lord would just continue to prepare the hearts of people in South Asia, especially during this next month or so. October and November are really big festival months. There are many festivals that happen specifically amongst Hindu people, and they, for, you know, many different times during the next couple of months, will be, you know, worshiping to idols and, you know, giving offerings to, you know, these golden statues and various other things, putting their hope in things that we know will never bring them hope. And so you can just be praying over these next couple of months as people are worshiping to these idols, that they would just be dissatisfied by that, that they would have a hunger for the truth, and that, you know, the Lord would put people in their path that would share about Jesus with them. And for believers in South Asia, who, especially those who have Hindu families and are just watching their families worship idols during this time, that the Lord would sustain those believers and give them just an abundance of opportunities to share. So those are some prayer requests. I have some prayer cards that I'll be giving out after the service. And on the back of that prayer card, there are some instructions to download an app. It's called the NPL Prayer App. NPL stands for No Place Left. And so the vision and the goal of our team and of all of the workers in South Asia is that there would be no place left where the gospel has not gone forth in South Asia. And so for us, practically, our team in our state, we have over 44,000 villages. And our goal is that there would be a healthy reproducing church in every single one of those villages. And so to pursue that, we have a goal to pray by name for each of those villages every year. And so we have, I think, obviously the year is coming close to an end, and we still have, I think, almost 20,000 villages to pray for. So you can join in the effort. If you download that app, it's so easy. The instructions are on the card. It will prompt you each day to pray for a village. And you can pray for as many a day as you want. But it will prompt you. It will give you the name of a village and some prayer points and instruct you how to pray for that village for just 1 minute. So that's a really easy way to be involved in the work. And then the last thing I'll say is that I also send out email updates. I usually send a big one kind of monthly-ish. And then I also send like a more specific weekly update. And so I'll have a sign-up sheet after the service. You can write down your email so that I can add you to that list if you're interested. And you can specify like if you want to get just the monthly update or if you want to receive those weekly updates as well. So those are some ways that you can be joining in the work that the Lord is doing in South Asia. Yeah, I'm just so thankful again to be here, and I have been praying for you guys as well, for your church and community. So I just am really excited to be here and get to just be part of the body of work that's that the Lord is using here and around the world. So thank you, guys.
So let's Let's pray real quick for Sydney and for Sarah and for the team as they minister and as they're here. And then we'll continue. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to hear Sydney and to hear what you are doing in South Asia and around the world. God, we pray that you would be working in the life of this lady, Sarah, who for 20 years had a seed planted, and you were faithful, you were caring for that seed, and you, at the right time, you sent a group of people to share with her in her own language about who you are. And so, God, we pray for that seed, that it would grow and that it would bear fruit, that this lady, Sarah, would also become your follower, and that she would share with others, and that there would even be a church in her home one day. So, God, we thank you for that, and we lift that up. We pray for the team that Sydney is a part of that has to be back in the States for this season right now. We pray that you would allow them to get back to their ministries as soon as you desire for them to do that, as soon as it's safe. And God, just pray that in the meantime, that you would allow the believers that are already there in that part of the world to be faithful in sharing and in serving you, and that your church would continue to grow. So God, we thank you for what you are doing, and we thank you that we can be a part of it by praying, by giving, and even, Lord, you may call some of us here to go at some point. We pray this, and we ask that you would help us to be obedient when you call us to either give, pray, or go. And so, God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue in the book of Ephesians as we've been doing over the last several weeks. Now, let me remind you, whenever you give to this church, whether it's your tithes or offerings or other things, you are helping, you're contributing to the missionaries who are working throughout the world, sometimes missionaries within the United States as well. But our church is part of, we give some of what we receive to the cooperative program, which is basically a program that takes and kind of thousands of churches give to this program, and then that program funds seminaries, it funds missionaries, it funds other Baptist bodies and organizations that are tasked with taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so, of course, in December, we usually have our international missions offering, the Lottie Moon offering, and so we'll be probably doing that as well in a couple of months. As we go to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 20. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as children of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness. As we come this morning to study your word, we ask that you would help us to receive from you what you want to teach us. Lord, help us to be children of light, to be your children, to know how to live a life that pleases you. And Lord, that we would be light in this world for those who are in darkness, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we've been looking at this letter to the Ephesians by Paul, obviously he sat down and I don't know how long it took him to write it, but as he wrote it, he was obviously following a train of thought. And so even though our passage, that first verse, it kind of starts with therefore, it says imitate God, therefore. It points back to something that he had just said in the end of chapter 14. And then that's pointing back to the fact that we've been forgiven by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. And because of his sacrifice, we should imitate God, he adds, because you are his children. Imitate God, he says. Paul brings to mind something that will be familiar to any parent. Children love imitating their parents. Whether it's the way we sit, or the way we eat, the way we talk, the things we do. Get on Facebook and you'll find pictures of kids often imitating their parents. A few months ago, my sister posted a picture of her husband, and he was mowing the lawn. He was walking behind his lawnmower. And in the picture, just a few feet behind the dad, the three-year-old son, little Jack, had his own plastic toy lawnmower. He was following right behind his dad, literally in his footsteps. He was imitating his dad. How many times have you looked at a child and noticed they have some of the same idiosyncrasies that their parents have? Facial expressions or a pose or just a phrase that they say that it's like, wait, you got that from your mom or you got that from your dad. They picked it up from their parents. Paul tells us we need to imitate our Heavenly Father, God. We need to be like him. And then he starts to get specific about how do we imitate God. He starts with telling us we need to live a life full of love. We need to live a life full of love. Paul shifts who we use as a model at that point, as we live a life full of love, from God the Father to Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus lived a life full of love, we are to do the same. Now, over the past few months, you've been here, you've heard me refer to this verse over and over again. When Jesus, the last night, when he was having that final meal with his disciples and he was doing some of his last teaching before he was arrested and crucified, he told his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. The goal of the Christian life is for us to become more and more like Jesus, more and more like him, and part of that involves loving others as Christ loved us. Now, I want to take a step back at this point and point out that living a life full of love does not mean that we ignore sin or we participate in it or we approve of it. You know, at different times I've had conversations with friends of mine that weren't Christians. And one of the things that they say to me is like, well, you say that God is love, and so why are you then being hateful or disapproving of this people or that behavior or whatever? And they kind of take this statement and say, well, if God is love, then it means that he must approve of the things that I want to do and my friends want to do and these behaviors and lifestyles. They use that verse to argue that a loving God would be okay with how they want to do things. They don't understand that it is a loving God who also established the boundaries of right and wrong, established what truth is in ways that are unchanging and eternal and loving. But Paul goes and he makes clear that love doesn't mean that we just, you know, just say everything's okay. Because Paul goes immediately into a series of commands about how we should live, what we should avoid as children of God. He lists sexual immorality, impurity, greed, certain kinds of talk, and improper joking. And those are all things to be avoided. And when you look at these things, all these things ultimately boil down to some form of idolatry. How is that? How is this idolatry? Well, idolatry is a time, any time when somebody serves something or someone other than the one true God. That's idolatry. Now, a little bit ago, Sydney was sharing about how October, November, there's these Hindu holidays and there's people going to be bowing down to idols and giving offerings to them. And for us, when we think of idolatry, that's what we think of, is these different statues that people go and they worship. But the truth is that idolatry is any time that we put something above God and we give that a higher importance in our lives than God himself. And so when we allow sexual immorality and impurity and greed into our lives, that's a sign that we have placed ourselves on the throne of our lives rather than God. Our own desires are more important than what God says we should be doing and how we should be living. Now, many of the ancient religions used sex and immorality and greed as part of their worship. Christians, however, we can't follow God and the world as well. God is either first in your life or he isn't. Now, again, I mentioned this last week. It's not about just a snapshot in your life. It's not just take a one-day picture or a short-term picture of your life and say, oh, well, that person isn't obeying God, and so they're not a believer, they're not a follower of God. No, we're talking about a looking at the broad spectrum of somebody's life and looking at what their life says over days, weeks, sometimes months and years. And as a person who follows God, you will see that, yes, there are times that there's sin in their lives, there's times that they fail, and that they don't live up to the standard of what God wants us to do. But overall, they are becoming more and more like Christ. When you look at the lifestyle of a person, it is not a lifestyle that reflects the love of the world and the priorities of this world, but a lifestyle that is more and more submitting itself to who God is. And so what Paul is telling us is that as Christians, we need to avoid sinful lifestyles. Again, we're Christians are imperfect people in the process of being transformed by God into more and more to be like Jesus. So we do fall, we sin, and then we repent and we once again continue in that process. The Apostle Peter wrote a letter to the churches, and he writes that as believers, we are finished with sin, and we should live the rest of our lives with the goal of doing God's will. In the letter, in the epistle of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, here's what it says. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the rest of their time in the flesh, no longer for human desires, but for God's will. For God's will. So instead of living like unbelievers, living a life of sin, Christians are called to live as children of light, as Paul continues in his letter to the Ephesians. They're to live as children of light. What does light do? What does light do? Well, light reveals things. It reveals what's right and what is wrong, what's good and what is sin. Light dispels darkness. Darkness flees from the light. Things that like to be hidden in the dark, they hate it when light shines in. Things that thrived in darkness no longer thrive when there is light. Light eliminates ignorance. There may be times when someone was ignorant about the reality of what they were doing or the, what was going on around them. They just didn't realize. They didn't understand what was going on, but light helps bring clarity and understanding. Okay, I realize now that was wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. Somebody explained it to me. They pointed it out, how it's hurtful, how it's sinful, how the Bible, you know, how God is not honored by that. And so it helps me to make better decisions and recognize sin for what it is. Light shows things for what they really are. It allows you to see the truth about something that used to be in darkness. Maybe others sometimes try to convince us that something really isn't all that bad. You know, things have changed. Back when the Bible was written, people had different standards. Those are antiquated. We don't actually believe that anymore. But light exposes it for what it really is. It's an excuse in order to try to justify sin and lifestyles that go against what God desires. Light eliminates guesswork. There may be times where you're trying to figure out what the truth is, what's the right thing to do, and light brings clarity so that you don't have to wonder and guess at what the right thing to do is. What you need to do, what you should do, is made clear. And as we allow light to conquer darkness, we also sometimes have to work on what God wants from us. We need to figure out what pleases God. Paul continues in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, you need to become aware, you need to understand. James 1:5 says this: if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Sometimes we're not sure. We said, God, I don't know what to do. I need wisdom in this situation. I know something doesn't feel right, but I can't put my finger on it. God, please give me your wisdom. God won't rebuke you for that. He won't make you feel bad about not knowing it. He'll help you understand. There's times when it's really clear what God wants from you. God's word says, don't steal, don't lie, don't have sex with somebody who you're not married to. Those things are clear. Then there's other times that we need to carefully determine what pleases the Lord, as Paul writes in Ephesians. We carefully determine. We need to put some effort into those questions. Sometimes it might be a decision on how do you spend the money that you have, or how do you spend your free time? Or it might be about a major life decision about what God might be calling you to do when it comes to your job or your education or a living situation. Whether God wants you to live where you are to share the gospel and witness to those who are living among you right where you are right here now. Or maybe God wants you to follow him to a new location. Maybe even another part of the world, and be a witness there among people who may have never heard about him. Just like Sydney was sharing with us at the beginning of the service today, that she was a teacher. She thought she was going to be a teacher the rest of her life. And then God used a circumstance. She went on a mission trip. He spoke to her through what she was reading in the Bible. He prompted her heart. And she realized, God is calling me to pick up, leave this, my plans that I had before, and follow him in a new direction in my life. And as we figure out what pleases God, we have to take care that we can continue to hear his voice and understand his will. We need to avoid getting entangled in the sin that entangles all the people that are around us. Sometimes even other people who are Christians, who've allowed themselves to fall into sin, who've given into some of what the world says. This is what's important. This is what brings you happiness. This is what is fulfilling. Paul writes in to the church in Ephesus that they should not just, don't just not participate in it. You need to expose it. Don't participate in the sins of the world. Instead, expose sin. And expose sin among Christians. That's accountability. Expose sin. 1 Corinthians 6, 14 to 7:1. It's talking, this passage talks about unbelievers and how we need to be separate from them because we are no longer sin. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you and I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. And let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God. This passage in 1 Corinthians is talking about from being separate from unbelievers. Not in the sense that we don't relate to them at all, because otherwise, how are we going to be a witness to them? How are we going to be winning them to Christ and showing them that God loves them and that God wants them to repent and follow Him? But He's talking about not becoming a partner with them. Not living the lifestyle that they live and not taking on their priorities for our own priorities. Not hitching our carriage to that group of horses. We don't, there's a difference there. I think this applies not only to romantic relationships. A lot of times that's used for dating and stuff, you know, don't be yoked with unbelievers, don't be partnered with unbelievers, but it also, I think, sometimes applies to business relationships, other kinds of formal relationships. But in Ephesus, Paul's talking about something else as well. He's talking about exposing sin, and I don't think he primarily means the sin of unbelievers, although I think maybe there's a little bit of that, but not completely. If we spend our time exposing the sin of unbelievers, we wouldn't have time for anything else. But I think what the whole pattern and the tone of the book of Ephesus, what it's been calling, Paul has been calling believers to do, is to not take on the priorities and to give in to the sin and to the things that unbelievers have been a part of. And so he's calling us to expose that, not in a way that's angry, not in a way that's trying to like, oh, I'm gonna take you down because, you know, I don't like what you're doing, and so I don't like you, and so I'm gonna expose what you're doing. It's not a hateful or a vengeful thing, but it's something that we do out of love and out of compassion and out of a desire to see our brother and sister in Christ be restored to God and grow in their relationship. Paul calls us to hold one another accountable because we love one another like Christ loved us. Because we're children of light and not of darkness. Because we're part of the body of Christ along with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And because of these things, we're to expose the sin that's in our community. Not for the sake of anger or vengefulness or to make somebody feel bad and to make myself feel better that at least I'm not doing that. No. It's because we are one body. As Paul's been emphasizing throughout this whole letter of Ephesians, we need to be united. And when we love one another and we're united in one another and we have different gifts that encourage one another, and then we need to point out the sin that's among us so that we can help our brother and sister grow and so that our body of believers can be healthier. It's a gentle, restoring attitude because we want our brother and sister in Christ to be restored to a relationship with Christ. It's not easy to do. But if we do it in the right way, it results in health and growth, not just for the brother or sister that we pointed it out to and said, man, I love you, and because I love you, I can't just ignore this thing in your life. I mean, it helps them, but it also helps us as we have the courage to do that. And also it helps the body of Christ as it becomes more and more healthy together. Living a life that seeks to follow Christ, Paul tells us, he continues, he goes on, he says, it's the best way to live. He tells us it's the wisest way to live. Live like the wise and make the most out of life by figuring out what God wants you to do. That's basically what he goes on to say next. The way that you live, to make the most out of your life is you figure out what God wants you to do and then you go do it. Did you realize that? The world wants to tell you they make the most out of life by you know, having the best career, the best education, the best job, the best, you know, relationship, the best, fill in the blank, the most money, the nicest toys, the best vacation, whatever it is. They tell us this is how you live a fulfilling life. You make the most out of it. But the Bible teaches us that actually the way that you live the most fulfilling life is to discover what God wants from your life and doing it. We discover the will of God and we let him transform our lives, as it says in Romans 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We read the Word of God. We spend time in prayer. We spend time in meditation. What that means is we just take the Word of God and we think about it. We pray to God about it and we say, God, how do you want this to change my life? What do I need to do about it? We worship God and following God, it leads to a fulfilling life. It's led me to have many more adventures and fulfilling seasons of life than I ever would have experienced if I'd have followed my own dreams. Just like Sydney shared earlier how her plan had been to be a teacher. My plan when I was in college, I was a business major. I was going to go get a corporate job, climb the corporate ladder, have the American dream, a wife, two kids, a dog, a picket fence. You know how it goes. And God said, well, I've got another plan for you. And in my plan, it wasn't bad. I mean, I still was saying, well, yeah, I want to have those things. And I'll go to church, and I'll tithe, and I'll teach Sunday school to the kids. I wanted to fill that part of the, check that box as well. God said, I have other plans. And so when I said, okay, God, I'll follow you, I'll say yes to you, even though that wasn't my plan. Even though I started at first saying, okay, I'm going to give you 2 years. Just like Sydney is in South Asia, God sent me to East Asia. I said, God, 2 years, and then I got my plans back on. I'll be back on that path. But God used that to change my heart. And since then, he's led me on a journey that's been full of joy and sacrifice, trials and growth, fulfillment, hope, heartache, adventure, so much more. Now, God's plan for some people, it is to have that job with where you stay where you are, and God wants you to pour into where he has you and invest in those around you and be a witness where you are, to be involved and volunteer in your church. That's how our church gets a lot of our ministry done here, is because many of you are faithful in giving financially, in volunteering, in helping our ministries that we do here in the community, and you are investing your lives where God has you right here and now, and you're being obedient to him. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what God has called you to do. But then there are some people that God calls and he says, I want you to be willing to give this up and follow me someplace else. And just like sometimes here in our lives, even if God has us stay here, it also includes sometimes trials and sacrifice and other things as well when we're following God. But sometimes when God calls us away, there are also trials and sacrifices and adventures and joys and heartaches and blessing that you would never have had unless you were willing to say, yes, God, I will do whatever you ask me. If you ask me to stay, I will stay. If you ask me to go, I will go. And you would never have those experiences unless you were willing to say, God, what do you want from me? And then you obey. It doesn't just fall into your lap. You have to seek it out. That's why a wise life is an intentional life. A wise life, it's intentional. It doesn't just happen. God, if God gave you mind, he expects you to use it. This means that learning his will involves gathering facts, examining them, weighing them, praying for his wisdom. Sometimes it involves praying with other people, getting sound advice for God, from godly men and women that are investing in your life. God doesn't want us to simply know his will. He wants us to understand his will. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to understand everything that God does in our lives. There's some things that God does in our lives that we will never understand until we get to heaven. And even that, I'm not sure that God guarantees he's going to explain it to us then. I hope for some of the things that I don't understand that God will explain to him, but he's not obliged to. But God does want us to understand about who he is, why he does things, what's the passion of his heart, what's his love for the nations and for the lost. And we need to be intentional about seeking those things. Finally, Paul ends with one way that we can figure out what God wants from us. It's not about getting drunk, it's about getting filled, about being filled. You see, one of the major temples in Ephesus was a temple to a pagan god named Bacchus. He was a god of wine and sex. And his followers believed that in order to hear from their God, they had to get drunk. It's probable that some of the people that were reading this letter in Ephesus had come out of that cult and were reading these words. And Paul was explaining to them the difference between the true God versus a false idol. Drunkenness often destroyed people's lives, both in the days of Paul and in our own day. And Paul was telling them, you don't need to alter your state of mind through alcohol. You need to alter your state of mind through allowing God's Spirit to fill you. Several years ago, I went on a ride-along with a police officer. He was a member of the church I was pastoring at the time. And one of the things we did during that night is we were part of a DUI stop. You all know what DUI stands for, right? It's driving under the influence, right? It's usually under the influence of alcohol or some other substance that alters your state of mind. And people who allow wine or alcohol or some other substance to alter their state of mind, they often end up hurting themselves or hurting others, sometimes even destroying their lives. Paul was telling them, avoid a DUI through an LUI, a life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. A life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the way to live a life filled with love, a life as children of light, a life that avoids the sinful patterns of this world that destroy lives and honors God. It's by coming under the influence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's the only way that the Holy Spirit, it's the only way that we can live this life is through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that can help our lives to be transformed and that we can make the most out of our lives. So if you've not ever figured out how to make the most out of your life, you've been chasing after all kinds of ways to bring purpose and fulfillment into your life, ways that the world tells you this is how you make your life full, and you've tried those things and it still leaves you empty. You want more. It doesn't satisfy. I invite you today to lay those things down and instead take the gift that God offers each person who will repent of their sin and accept the gift that God has for us. A gift of forgiveness and of salvation, of healing, of hope and of purpose. If you've never asked God to forgive you and to save you, I invite you to do that today. Now, some of you, maybe probably most of you, have made that decision at some point in your life, but just like some of the people in Ephesus who had gotten off track somehow, you've allowed yourself to get caught up in some of the things that this world says, yeah, this is what's important. This is how you find fulfillment. Or some of us have been allowed ourselves to get caught up in some of the sins that the world says are okay. Oh yeah, you know, those moral standards were for those ancient people, not for modern, enlightened people like us today. Maybe you've chosen to pursue the things that this world considers important instead of seeking God for and His will for your life. I encourage you today to confess to God that you need to put Him first again in your life. Ask Him to help transform you more and more into who He wants you to be. If either of these two decisions are something that you feel God is calling you to do, I invite you, you know, we haven't had an altar call before for a long time because of COVID, and I know that's hard to do, but if that's something that you feel God is calling you to do, maybe instead of exiting when we dismiss, if you stay in your seat and I can come, we can talk and we'll pray together. I invite you to do that. But as we come to the end, I invite you to seek to live a life as children of light, a life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you didn't just say, here's the standard, figure it out on your own. But Lord, you gave us the Holy Spirit as we put our faith in you, to help us make decisions and be allow our lives to be transformed in ways that just don't happen when we do it in our own strength. God, I pray that you would help us to be children of light. God, I pray that you would help us to be willing to be accountable to one another, that we would know how to expose sin in a way that's loving and caring and builds someone up. And Lord, that if we have sin in our lives that you want to expose, that we would receive those words into our lives with gratitude and knowing that you desire to restore us to yourself. God, I pray that as we go today, that you would help us to be a community that is more and more healthy, that draws more and more people to you. And Lord, that we would see people who do not yet know you come to know you. That we would plant seeds in people's lives about who you are, and that we would see them bear fruit as they put their faith in you. And we ask that you'd help us to grow into who you want us to be as a church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I just want to remind you that we're going to have to reschedule our luncheon today after church because of the rain and because of the increase in the number of COVID cases in the area. But we are looking forward to being able to have a fellowship, an outdoor fellowship at our home sometime soon. So we'll have to reschedule that. Again, I pray that you would be growing in your relationship with God, and that you would be allowing Him to transform your lives. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight. Through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you again next week. God bless.